All right. Glad y'all came out back for some more tonight. Amen. So I'm going to scoop you up another helping, Lord willing. Go ahead and get your Bibles out tonight. And let's stand. Take your Bibles out. Let's stand. We'll turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. That's where we'll begin at tonight. We're going to look at a few different verses tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to read a couple of verses tonight, and that's where we'll begin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 14, then verse number 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 14 says this: If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Brother Russell, would you pray for this message tonight?
Yes, sir. Dear Lord, again, just come to you, dear Lord. I pray that you'd be with this service.
Yes.
I pray that you'd be with our pastor, Brother Dennis, dear Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd give him some power and some strength and some authority from on high, Lord. Lord, I go ahead and pray that you'd open up my ears and my mind and these people's, dear Lord. I pray that you'd open up their hearts, and I pray that you'd wipe away any being tired or groggy or thinking about something. I pray that you'd wipe away.
Help them, Lord.
Dear
help
Lord,
them.
I pray that you would just help us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, Lord. And whatever it is, if we need to get something right, dear Lord.
Yes.
If we need to look at something a little differently that we hadn't looked at before, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be stubborn or hard-hearted.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
I pray that you would just do a work with us tonight. Lord, I want to thank you again for Jesus Christ and his precious blood. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. For the next few Sunday nights, Lord willing, we're going to be preaching on this subject, admonishing in the Bible. We're going to do a little short series here on admonishing in the Bible. And if you look in your King James Bible, you'll see that the word admonish shows up several times, or a form of that word. It's admonish, admonished, admonishing, admonition, and that shows up in your Bible. We're going to look at these words and how they, how this word admonish needs to be understood by the Christian, how it's an important word, how we ought to be able to take it and give it as we are able to give it, and we should always be able to take it, amen. I want you to understand what it means to be admonished. The definition of admonish is to indicate duties or obligations. It'd be someone coming up to you and saying, letting you know what duties or obligations you have, reminding them of you or informing you of these duties. To express warning or disapproval. I do that Sunday after Sunday. I admonish you from the pulpit. I warn you. To give friendly, earnest advice or encouragement to. Friendly, earnest advice or encouragement to. That's what it is. And so if we sum this all up, we say that when I get up here and I admonish you from the Bible, or if another Christian is going to admonish you, a Christian admonishing a Christian, by definition we mean that it's instructive, it's forewarning, and it's sincere. Now, I'll say this, there's Christians nowadays aren't used to receiving admonishment. They don't want you coming up and warning them or expressing disapproval. And I don't know what good a preacher is if he's not going to do it. I don't know what good a Sunday school teacher is if they're not going to do it. I don't know what good Brother Russell is as a youth pastor if he's not going to do it with your youth. I've never understood that, how sometimes parents would get upset or whatever. Listen, when my son was young, and now he's older and he's doing his own thing. But if I had children, if I had a teenager, I thank God that I had a youth pastor that'd get up there and tell them like it is. And warn them of some things. Admonish them. But many Christians, I know nowadays, they don't want to be admonished. They won't receive admonishment. And there's a few reasons for that. Number one is just pride. Nobody wants to be told what to do. Nobody wants to be told they're wrong. That's a hard thing to admit to somebody, isn't it? If I sit down and I listen to your admonishment and I agree with you that you're right, then if I have to agree that you're right, then I have to agree also that I'm wrong. Boy, that's rough on some people. And then not just pride, just rebellion. Some people are just bent on not doing what they're supposed to.
Amen.
And some people just like fighting the system.
Right.
You fight the system all you want to, bless the Lord, oh my soul, but you ain't going to fight God and win.
Right.
You're not going to do it. Some people, they don't receive admonishment just because of unconcern. They just don't care one way or the other. We have some of them in our church that come Sunday after Sunday. They come in to put their time into church, and as soon as I get up in the pulpit, I ain't 5 minutes into my introduction, they're sleeping. There just ain't no concern there. You know, it's just, this is my way of easing my conscience. It's what I think I'm supposed to do. I learn a few brownie points with the Lord Jesus Christ by showing up here on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's why they won't receive an admonishment. And some people just do it because they disagree. They disagree because they've got their philosophy from the world, their thinking from tradition, how they look at it. They don't know two thimbles of the Bible. They just know you're wrong.
Yeah.
And they don't really care what the Bible says about an issue. I'm going to go with tradition, and I just feel in my heart, and I just think, and the way I've always looked at it, preacher, God could care less about how the way we've always looked at it.
Right.
God's not up in heaven going, oh, so that's what you think about this. Man, I should have took that consideration some 2,000 years ago when I began to put all this stuff together. No, he's not going to do that. So I want you to understand how important it is to have this ministry of admonishing. And we're just going to look at several things as it relates to that in the Bible. We'll look at about three different things tonight, and I think that's all we'll cover tonight. And then, Lord willing, like I said, we'll in the next two or three Sundays, I don't know how long we'll be in this, we'll look at this. But this is important. This is important, listen, for us as Christians to get a hold of it, how we are to interact with other Christians when it comes to this admonishing. It's important how we are to interact with our pastor, as he does a lot of admonishing. It's important how we interact with God, as he continually will admonish us. And how we respond to it. And how we respond to it is going to have a lot to do with if we grow in the Lord or not.
Amen.
So the first thing I believe that we need to cover is just right here where we read here tonight is what I call the spirit behind an admonition. The spirit behind it. Now notice what Paul says there. He's writing to the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica. This is his second letter to him. And notice what he says. He says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Everybody look up here at me. This ain't really part of the message. It's the second part of this verse number 15 that we want to look at. But you know what he's telling you there? He's saying, look, you read this letter of instruction that I've written to you. And if there's somebody in that church that don't want to do it and don't want to agree with it and don't want to live according to what I've told you, you know what he said? He said, you don't have company with him that he may be ashamed.
Right.
There used to be a day and a time when they throw you out of a church.
Yeah.
There used to be a day and a time when you didn't live like the devil and come up here in this church like nothing went wrong. There used to be a day and time when people believed this. I can show you other places where Paul said you don't keep company with a fornicator. You don't keep company with a drunkard. And listen to me now. It don't mean that you're judging them or looking down on them or stop loving them or all this other stupid, silly junk I get tired of Christians that want to live like hell saying.
Right.
It's doing what that Bible says. Because the Bible says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And you can't keep that crowd in your local church and expect it not to rub off on everybody else.
Amen.
We have some standards here.
Right.
And we all can sin and we all can fall short of the glory of God and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. We have some standards here. We are not going to smooth over this stuff and act like it's all right for people just to drink and fornicate and party and cuss and live like the devil and show up here and let them have teach classes and let them get up here in this choir and let them stand up here like nothing's wrong. There is something wrong.
Amen.
I don't care how you live, you're welcome to come to this church, but you're not going to be a member, and you're not going to participate, and you're not going to have a role of leadership in this church living like the devil.
Amen.
And it's right to get away from you. If that's you, it's right to ignore you. It's right not to be buddy-buddy with you. It's right to withdraw your fellowship from them. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
It's right to have some standards.
Amen.
Yes. It's right. And you'd be surprised that me and other preachers I know of us got mad because of choices we made about baby showers and wedding showers and everything else. We are not going to put our blessing in this church on sin. We're not going to. I'm talking about your family, and bless God, I'm talking about mine. And I've had some of that junk show up in my family. Some folks get mad at me about it. I don't give a real what anybody in my family says. I mean it just, I mean this preaching just as much for them as I do for anybody else. So don't put me in an uncomfortable position asking me to celebrate something that's a sin. I don't know where all this got off to. I'm fixing to get on the message. I'm just telling you like it is. People just hop and skip around, just live like the devil and get out of church, and they're gone for months and just live wickedly and put the name of Christ in the mud, put the name of this church in the mud, and just plop their old butts back down here one day like nothing ever happened. How y'all doing? Good to see you. And if anybody, bless God, ever says anything to them about it, they write about you all over Facebook, about you being judgmental and you don't have any Christian love. No, you don't have any character. The first thing you ought to do, bless God, is come up in this church and get right with everybody and get right with God.
Amen.
That's what you used to have to do in the local churches.
Amen.
But that's got absolutely nothing to do with what I'm preaching on tonight. Notice what it's talking about, admonishing this fellow. He don't want to do right. He don't want to live right. But he said, just remember this. Here's the spirit behind admonishing him. Verse number 15. You yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And what we have to remember is a few things. Number one, all of us have lived like the devil.
Amen.
With no regard to God. Amen. Get off your high horse. Well, I never did what he did. Yeah, well, there's people in the world that never did what your sorry self did. So, by the way, they ain't your standard. Jesus Christ is. You and I are failures when it comes to him. You measure my righteousness and my goodness up against his. Losers, all you put on my forehead. You too. Another thing I want you to consider about this is that this fella that he's talking about here is your brother. When these people in our church, in our local assemblies, fall out and they're not right with God and they get into gross sin, our response ought to be that they're not my enemy. I'm not separating myself from you because you're my enemy.
Right.
I'm not saying you need to get this thing right because you're my enemy.
Right.
I'm not trying to go on and exclude you because you're my enemy. You're not my enemy. You're my brother. And so the spirit of the admonition, the very spirit of it now, the motive, the heart feeling of it is, I'm not there so I can get you and be mean to you and rough to you. That's the job of the Holy Spirit of God, to convict you and get you right.
Right.
I'm there as an instrument of the Lord, not to look at you as my enemy, but you're a brother in the Lord. You're a Christian sister in the Lord, and you're not right. And you're messing up, and you're going way out there in left field, and I owe it to you, the spirit behind it, is not to jump on you and make myself look big and you look small, and I'm set in a self-righteous manner, but out of a spirit of help and love and concern, that you're not my enemy, you're my brother, but you're messed up right now. You're wrong. And I'm going to tell you you're wrong. Now, one thing we want to be careful about, and we're going to look at this later, is it ain't everybody's job to be running around here jumping on everybody and correcting everybody, okay?
Right.
There are certain people, and we're going to look at that fits the qualification of being able to give an admonishment. And if you're living about half out in the world and you ain't been saved but 6 months, you ain't got no room to be coming in here jumping on anybody.
Amen.
And if you just float in and out of church every once in a while and you don't never read your Bible, you don't never pray, and you don't live for God, you ain't never won a soul to the Lord, you wouldn't give two nickels a year for the work of the Lord, don't you come in here and jump on somebody. You ain't got no business admonishing nobody about nothing.
Amen.
What you need to do is you need to get right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's good preaching.
Amen.
But there's a spirit behind it. I want to say this before I move on. I hope that people don't ever think in my hard preaching that I'm up here looking down on somebody, trying to speak condescendingly to somebody, trying to make them look like this and me look like this.
Right.
That it's not done out of a spirit of contempt. I'm not doing it out of a spirit of pride, but out of love. And sometimes righteous anger. See, you are so trained by the world and television and this modern stuff that if anybody's angry about anything, he's wrong and he ought to go to anger management. I saw this parody on YouTube where it was funny where Darth Vader had to go to anger management. That was funny. He went into anger management and they was trying to get him to sit down and talk, and Darth Vader went, choked the fella, you know. Some of you haven't seen Star Wars. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Anyway, Darth Vader had to go into anger management. No, what Darth Vader needed was he needed to get on the right side of the Force. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Spirit, and then Darth Vader wouldn't have to go into anger management. You know what you need? If you and I are filled with the Spirit, we won't have to go to anger management. We won't get mad about the silly, stupid things, and we will get angry about the things God wants us to be angry about. There are some things that He wants us to be angry about. And so from time to time, you're going to see some, I hope it's righteous anger. Maybe every once in a while the old flesh gets in there and it ain't. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that didn't get a little mad every once in a while. That means nothing disturbs him. And if nothing disturbs him, he ain't going to disturb you.
Amen.
Every once in a while, you need to be disturbed.
Yeah. Right.
So the spirit behind any admonition, whether it's me to you, you to each other in Sunday school, whatever, just a Christian brother that's seasoned in the Lord and has grown in the Lord, he takes you off to the side and gently tries to give you an admonition, gently tries to help you and show you the truth about something. It shouldn't be out of pride and contempt. It ought to be out of a spirit of love and compassion that you're worried and concerned about them. And they're not looking at you as the enemy. The devil's the enemy. They're looking at you as their brother in Christ, but you're being used at this time in your life by the enemy. You understand that? All right, let's go to our next one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, we looked at the spirit behind an admonition. Now, I want us to look at the sources, our example for our admonition. Now, basically we get it from our all true admonition. That spiritual admonition is going to come from one source. And I don't have to tell you what that is, okay? It's going to come from the Bible. This ain't about what you think and what you like and what you dislike. And I just didn't like that red dress she wore, so I'm going to go give her an admonition about it. No, that's not right. I didn't like when Brother Dennis got up there and wore these shoes here. I'm going to go up there and get him about it. I didn't like it, you know, Brother Russell, he didn't wear a tie tonight or something or whatever, some kind of cuckoo crazy stuff. No. It's not anything like that. Our admonitions ought to come from this Bible. That ought to be based on the Bible. But we have some examples. Notice here what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11. And just ways this word admonition is being used here tonight. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, when you read above that, he's telling you about people that messed up and folks that God killed because they weren't doing right for the Lord. And you know what Paul says here? He says all these things. You ever notice why God lists so many different characters? And he lists characters in the Old Testament that do some good things. He lists some characters in the Old Testament that didn't do so good. Well, the Bible tells you here, Paul tells you here, he says, these things happen unto them for examples. They're an example to you. They are written for our admonition. You know what? You know what he said? He said, you ought to be able to open up this Bible and look at how a fella blew it and how a fella taught you how not to do it. And that ought to be an admonition to you. That ought to be a warning to you. It ought to be a gentle rebuke to you from the Bible that here's a fella that ruined his life. Maybe 3,000 and 4,000 years ago, and God's got it recorded in here to help me and give me an admonition so I don't ruin mine.
Amen.
That's what it's in there for. Notice another scripture. Turn over to Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. Again, we're looking at this word admonish, admonition. The way it's used. We've looked at the spirit behind an admonition. It ought to be a gentle spirit. It ought to be a spirit of love. You ought to look at the fellow that you give an admonition to, whether I'm a pastor, whether I'm a Sunday school teacher, as not your enemy, but a brother that needs help. Now we're looking at the source for admonition. It ought to come out of the Bible. And we got plenty of examples. We got plenty of scripture. We got plenty of teachings in the Bible that show us when we err and when we are in need of an admonition. Look there in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What is this all wisdom that you get from the word of Christ? That's the word of God dwelling in you. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Man, when we get in here and have the song service, that's some admonishment. You know what that's doing? That's encouragement to us. And we're singing about the cross, and we're singing about Christ coming back. We're singing about the hope of heaven. But we get all this stuff from the Word of God. And the main thing I want you to understand this about this is this. The Bible is the place to find biblical admonition. Nowhere else. You can't just be walking around and start admonishing people and giving people what you call encouragement or what you call advice or what you call instruction or what you call rebuke, and it's all what you think.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. If I think somebody has erred in a way where they need some admonition, I've got to find in the Bible what they've done wrong, and I've got to find in the Bible what is right about it, and that's where it goes. This is not based on personal preferences.
Right.
Silly, stupid stuff like they used to preach on years ago, wire-rimmed glasses and whether you got a beard or not. And I've heard preachers preach against turtleneck sweaters and flip-flops. I don't like flip-flops, and ain't no sin to have them. Man, if you want to walk down the in life, just flop-de-flop-de-flop-de-flop. You go help yourself. My wife's got many a pair of them. I don't care for them. I ain't a sin. People are crazy about stuff like that. You know what that is? You're going to gauge your spirituality by whether you wear flip-flops or not. You're a nut.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, if he walked in now, he wouldn't be welcome in here because he'd have a beard and he'd probably have sandals on. But that's where we messed up. They start preaching and teaching and admonishing one another about that junk, and they don't stick to what the Bible says. But you have that. Now listen. The reason that people don't heed the warning is because they don't know the warnings. The average Christian today don't read their Bible. They don't know much about the Bible. And sometimes it is a simple case of ignorance. Sometimes if you're the right person with the right spirit and you've got the right information, you've grown in the Lord, you have a good testimony, God's put it on your heart, you can go up to somebody with the right spirit and start that thing out gentle, in a gentle manner. And just say, look, you probably haven't been thinking about this. You probably haven't noticed this. Maybe you're not aware of this. But so and so. And some people, but they don't even know. They haven't even thought about it. They didn't even know it was an issue. They just needed somebody that cared enough about them to come along and gently tell them the truth. Now again, you got to be careful about that stuff because you can get to meddling and you can get to putting your nose in people's business when you shouldn't. And you can get to going around here and become a busybody like I preached on a few Sundays ago. You got to be careful of that. There's a fine line between that. And you've got to be qualified. Most Christians ain't qualified to admonish nobody about nothing.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God didn't call everybody in the church to run around and start correcting one another. If that's the case, we'd all be correcting because we all need correcting. But a lot of people just don't know. Let me say this, I'll move on to my final point tonight. Some of you saying, thank God. I understand. Has there ever been a time in anybody's life in here since you've been a Christian that you were doing something or involved in something or acting in something, and honest to goodness, you ain't even thought nothing about it. You didn't know what was wrong. And then you heard a Sunday school lesson on it, maybe a message going down the road on it. Maybe I preached a message or another preacher preached a message, or somebody talked to you about it, or some Christian talked to you about it. And a light went off. You went, man, I didn't even know. I ain't even thought about it that way. Anybody in here like that? Anybody? Look at the hands. See that? I have too, by the way. More than once had that happen. More than once had that happen to me. And sometimes we just need some gentle instruction. Sometimes people aren't just walking around defiant and with their fist up toward heaven saying, I'm going to do my thing and I don't care what you say, God. So we just live in a world of ignorance, and some people don't know what God said about anything. And when they are shown the truth, they are willing to change. I hope that's who I'm preaching to tonight. I hope I'm preaching to a church full of folks that just sometimes we're just ignorant and we're not aware of stuff. And when that preacher or that Sunday school teacher or whoever it is, or the Holy Ghost of God, while I'm reading my Bible, shows me something I've never seen before, never thought of before, didn't realize it was even a problem, I am willing to take that admonishment and correct it. So that's the spirit behind an admonition. That's the source or our example for our admonition. Let's look at the skill behind the admonition, the skill of giving it. What do you mean? Well, take your Bible. Turn to Romans chapter 15. It's our last point tonight. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 14. Romans chapter 15, verse number 14 tonight. Notice what the Bible says. Paul says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Now notice what he's telling them. He's writing to these Christians in Rome. And by the way, this book of Romans, in my opinion, all the Bible's important. I'll just put it like this. If they said, we're going to exile you to an island, you're never getting off that island, you're going to live there till you die, and we're only going to give you one book. You can't have the whole book of the Bible. We're going to give you one book in the Bible. Or if you were to say to me, this fellow, we're fixing to put a lost fellow over here, or say pet fellow. Lost fellow, or say fellow, we're fixing to put him in jail forever. We're only going to give him one book out of the Bible. Which one do you want me to give him, Pastor? On both occasions, I say the book of Romans. The book of Romans has the doctrine, the salvation, and then the practical stuff. And then it has over 9, 10, and 11, the dispensational stuff. It's got it all. To me, the book of Romans would be the most, I guess, important book. And it's hard for me to say that because I know all the books in the Bible are important. But you know what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean. Now, notice what he says here in verse number 14. He said, I'm persuaded of you, my brethren, that you're full of goodness. Now, first of all, he said, y'all are full of goodness. Y'all are good people. Y'all want to treat people good. So that's a good thing. He said, then you're filled with all knowledge. He said, your motive's right, your heart's right, and you have knowledge. And that's why you're able to admonish one another. You got to have that heart right, and you got to have the right knowledge, or you don't have any idea, any business, rather, admonishing anybody about anything.
Amen.
You got to admonish them with the right spirit and the right heart, and you got to have the right knowledge to do it.
Yeah.
And everybody ain't skilled, and everybody's not qualified to go around and be rebuking somebody.
Amen.
I'm going to show you one more verse tonight. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Galatians. Now, this particular verse does not have the word admonish in it, but it's got something along the lines of what we're teaching tonight that we need to look at. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Now, you read this here tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Listen, first of all, you get all puffed up about what this other fella's doing and you jump on them, you go in there like that. You'll be tempted and do the same thing he's doing. And sometimes we get upset about what people's doing and we get mad and bitter with them and we get in worse shape than they are.
Amen.
You know what he said right there to the Galatians? He says, brethren, he's talking to saved people here. He says, the one of you that's going to help the fella that's overtaken in the fault, he says, ye which are spiritual. Not just saved, you've got to be spiritual. And if you're not a spiritual Christian, you've got no business admonishing anybody about anything.
Amen.
You've got to have the goodness in your heart the Romans had, with the right motive and the right spirit, and you've got to have the knowledge that they had. You've got to have both of them. If you have the right motive but no knowledge, you've got no business admonishing anybody.
Right.
If you've got the knowledge but you don't have the right motive, you've got no business. And you've got to be a spiritual person. Listen, not think you're spiritual, but be spiritual. Don't be a legend in your own mind. See, we got some of them in the local church too. You think you're a lot better off for Christ? I mean, you think you've got it. You think you have arrived. You think you're Mr. Wonderful in the Christian department. You think you're super spiritual, and you're not. Amen. But if you are, then you're a candidate. Or you're qualified to admonish somebody that needs admonishing. These are the first three things we're going to look at tonight, and then we'll be covering some more as we continue. Let's recap just for a few minutes, and we'll be dismissed here tonight. The spirit behind an admonition. We separate from them, and we warn them, but we don't look down on them. They're our brethren. If God's put somebody in your heart tonight that's not right, you know they're a Christian brother. You do what you got to do to keep your relationship with God first. You don't put your stamp of approval on that junk. But you don't stop loving them, and you don't stop caring about them, and you don't stop praying. And if the Lord does lead you and put you in a position to talk to them, you make sure it's not in a haughty, puffed up type spirit. You make sure you give them an admonition because you love them and you care about them and you want to see them get some help. Yep. Amen?
Amen.
And number two, the source of our admonition. It's not what you think and it's not how you feel about it. We don't have any business to giving an admonition to anybody about anything unless they is something that they've done contrary to the Bible and we have a clear scriptural teaching against what they're doing.
Right.
And then you look at the skill of the admonition. You and I don't even have a place to be admonishing somebody if we're not spiritual people, if we don't have our heart right, and if we don't have adequate knowledge about it. We cannot surmise about people and think that we've got the thing figured out, and I know what's going on, I know what they're doing. No, you don't. No, you don't. Most of the people that think they know exactly what's going on over here, we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. So we need to be, he says, ye that are spiritual, do it. So if you're spiritual, listen, if you're spiritual and you've got your heart right and God's taught you a few things and you've learned a few things, listen to me. It is your duty as a Christian from time to time, whether it's your family, your spouse, a Christian, a brother, a neighbor, a work, somebody that you work with, a family member or whoever, to admonish them from the Bible. I sure thank God there wasn't some preachers scared around about the time I was getting right with God.
Amen.
I thank God there were some preachers that didn't care about how I felt about the thing. They just wanted me to hear the truth.
Amen.
I'm glad the Lord's given me some Christian friends and some Christian brethren that from time to time over the years have talked to me about things that I didn't see right. I sure am glad somebody has some boldness with me to help me out.
Amen.
Instead of just sit back and talk about me behind my back and never even try to help me.
Amen.
We in this church ought to try to help those that go astray. But the problem is we have so few in our local churches that are qualified to admonish anybody. We need to be growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord so we can. And that's the beginning. We'll at least probably have two more Sunday nights of this. Possibly three. I don't know. We'll just pray about it. But if God's spoken to your heart about anything here tonight, you ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to do a work in your heart and about this admonishing in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Every head bowed and eye closed.